And now, straight from Beacon Hill.
This is State Senator Bob Hedlund, Republican of Weymouth.
Well, let's be clear that it's the Republicans that have been in charge of this project.
I'm the Secretary of State. I love T-Bart Carls Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money.
Or a silly bill. A silly bill. Yeah, it's like when I had a bill that had to do with, you know, circus animals.
It's time for the State House Report.
Yes, I am a Republican in Massachusetts, believe it or not.
Here's State Senator Bob Hedlund.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, the abbreviated edition. And joining us on the phone line is State Senator Bob Hedlund. Senator, how are you?
Good, sir. The abbreviated edition, huh?
Yeah, we somehow got truncated because they had a paid program on before us promoting the big basketball game tonight.
Yeah.
So we got pushed back, but it's good to have you on board. I hear that there was quite a lot of commotion going on up at the State House today.
Well, as much commotion as 30 Republicans can raise over there in the House, an 160-member body. But hold on to your wallets. That sound you hear is the sound of the House taking up the $500 million tax increase.
Well, I was talking about, wasn't there a commotion outside with folks who had walkers and canes and any way or means to kind of block up, gum up the works up in front of the State House today? Did you not see that?
Believe it or not, outside of lunch hour, I was in the building all day and I didn't see anything.
Okay. We had during one of our newscasts this afternoon, that was one of the stories that there were some folks who were quite fed up with being taxed and seeing services reduced for the MBTA, and they want some action. They want something to be done. And
well, the folks that were protesting today, they weren't really protesting the fact that they're taxed. They were more concerned with services being cut. A lot
Correct.
Of folks rely on the ride, which is a very expensive program that the MBTA runs. But, you know, I think what T-Riders pay in fares is going to be a topic of discussion next week also. Later this week, I should say.
I have to ask you, it seems as though the Patrick administration is really, really pushing this transportation plan. Is even, you know, there was something in the Associated Press on Friday about Patrick threatening to veto lawmakers' transportation, the veto of the lawmakers' transportation plan, because he doesn't feel that the $500 million plan is enough, that he feels that we have to get serious and start investing. And investing, he means taxing. And give me your thoughts on what's going on up there.
Yeah, just to recap for the folks, the governor proposed almost $2 billion in new taxes, new revenues. That was rejected pretty much out of hand
right.
by the legislative leadership, meaning the Speaker and the Senate President. They whipped up their own plan, which involves $500 million in new taxes and revenue. And that was together without a public hearing, as you know. And quickly, you know, it was unveiled a week ago, and quickly now the House is taking it up, and we're going to be debating it on Thursday. And the Republican caucus in the Senate will be offering an alternative plan that funds all the transportation initiatives that the House and Senate leadership are talking about in their bill, but we do it without any new taxes. And if I can add one thing, Kevin, the big frustration about this is in 2009, we talked about on the show, there was a major transportation reform measure which promised, which came out to be $300 million a year in savings amortized. That was a yearly net on a 20-year program. And we haven't realized any of those savings yet. The governor has not implemented many of the reform measures called for in the transportation reform plan of only 4 years ago. And now they want more money without having implemented the reforms that we passed 4 years ago.
It's interesting. Well, the thing that I, from what I understand with this new, the plan that we're seeing being put together by Speaker DeLeo and President Murray, Theresa Murray, is we could see a little bit of a boost to our gasoline tax, 3 cents, and a boost to the excise tax on cigarettes. Now, I don't know how much more you can boost cigarettes. I mean, last time I went in the store, they're anywhere between $7 and $8 a pack. you throw another buck on it, eventually people are going to go, I can't afford to do this. Hence, it's not going to be worth your while to be keep sticking taxes on it. But when you look at where gas is now, I tanked up on the way here. It costed me $3.49. I don't see gas going down to the $2 mark anytime soon. So you tack that on. It just keeps on giving and giving and growing and growing.
You're right. And there's one more dangerous element of this plan.
Yep.
Is we're going to be taxing now
services, right?
Specialized software, right.
Right.
Right now if you go into, Staples and buy, QuickBooks or something, that's taxed. It's a one size fits all kind of, prepackaged software or program. Now for specialized, unique to maybe one institution or one business type software, we're going to tax that. Now the problem with that is it's kind of a slippery slope that we may be getting into a lot of other high tech things to tax, or we may be, creeping into a tax on services, which was rejected back in 1991 when Dukakis tried to implement it or voted it. But, our big sector is the high tech sector, and they're very concerned about that part of the proposal.
What can be done? Do you feel that there's too big of a gap? Do you feel that anybody on the other side of the aisle will be willing to fight this, or do you feel that it's going to be a Democratic lockstep in regards to this plan? Is this something that you see that there's going to be support to do this $500 million, or do you feel that the governor is going to keep pushing until further things are added, whether it's the increasing of the income, the personal income tax, whether it's to, maybe instead of 45 exemptions that he wanted to see, taken out when it comes to our filing our taxes, that it's 25. Where's the line drawn? How hard can the governor push to get more implemented?
Great question. One veteran of the State House, someone that's been there longer than I, who told me today, he's never seen such pushback from staff and from legislators into the executive branch on thing in 30 years. And it's kind of like open warfare and ridicule on the part of certain legislative leaders about the governor's plan. So what's going to happen is you get really three camps on this. You got the governor looking for $2 billion in taxes, you got the Republican alternative, and you got the leadership. And you're going to have a few so-called progressives in the legislature jumping up and down saying we have to support the governor. But if someone looks at them the wrong way, they'll fold. Or if someone says boo, they'll fold. So the legislative leadership is going to get what they want. There aren't enough Republicans, obviously, to push for the Republican plan. And if the governor is foolish enough to veto it, it'll be overridden in about 5 seconds.
Okay. I have a fourth solution, and that is leave.
You mean like Scott Brown is?
Yes, that's what I hear.
What do you think of that, Senator, as a final topic before we head out the door with this segment? What do you think of Scott Brown not ruling out a run in New Hampshire? What do you think of that?
I would say the governor's probably got a better chance at passing his tax plan than Scott Brown running or getting elected in New Hampshire. I think it's kind of far-fetched. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I just don't see it.
I feel like it's Republicans that always criticize the Democrats for doing things like that. And here we have a Republican doing that. And luckily, I think the Republicans in this state and in New Hampshire are somewhat on board on the same level here, where they're kind of staying away from the whole issue.
Okay.
Well, most jurisdictions, they don't take to carpetbaggers, but Massachusetts, we seem to take to carpetbaggers. We've had, people blow into town and get elected, or, young Joe Kennedy not even live in the district he gets elected in, and that kind of thing. So It happens in Massachusetts, I guess, based on your name, but I guess it doesn't work as well elsewhere.
I guess the last thing I would ask you, anything newsworthy in your district that you want to chat about for a moment?
I would say that, this initiative on the part of the Democratic leadership to do this $500 million tax increase without really public scrutiny is something that people should be aware of. I don't think it's good government to conduct ourselves this way. And, we just had, Sunshine Week a couple weeks ago,
yep.
And the Patriot Ledger did a great series about openness in state government. And here we have something with, you know, far-reaching consequences that is just being cooked up and jammed down without really any public scrutiny. I don't think the public's even aware of what's happening.
Very good. There he is, State Senator Bob Hedlund with the State House Report. Senator, we thank you very much for joining us during this abbreviated Monday Night Talk.
Thank you, guys. Sorry about the loud atmosphere that I'm in. I'm actually outdoors right now. So
no, you actually have an excellent signal.
Good. Well, I'm still in Boston. I'm hoping to go into the garage in a minute and get out of here.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you.
I'm going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to do red versus blue, or at least at the moment, blue. Stay tuned for more Monday Night Talk.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.